All right, it's the Pop Tower Podcast. I'm Peter W. Dawson.
I'm James Bullock.
And we're here to talk about television and movies. Yeah, no video games, but give it a couple of weeks. I mean, we may actually not do one next week. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
But pretty quick, it's going to get pretty crazy.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, there's too many games. Too many games. But how you doing today, James?
I'm doing pretty good, Peter, but I just want to warn you about something.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you always keep your eyes closed.
I don't know. If my eyes are closed, how will I see and fall in love with someone at first sight?
Mm.
That's how that works, right?
That is true. That is very much true.
I mean, that's how love works.
So maybe we had this movie that we're going to talk about today all wrong then.
Yeah.
It's not a horror movie, it's a love story.
Well, exactly. I mean, both subjects today are love stories. I'm only slightly joking. Oh, that's not true. But okay, so we're gonna talk about an anime.
Yeah.
This one wrapped up in June of 2018, so we're a little behind on this one, but it's one I wanted to talk about for a while now, because I have a lot of affection for it. It is called Otakoi, Love is Hard for Otaku.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually an article on it on the main Quimpop site a few weeks back, but we're going to kind of go a little longer form, because, I mean, podcast versus written article, you know, we have a little more advantage with discussion, too.
And then we can go on tangents, too, and nobody will get mad at us.
Yep. You can't tangent in articles, which is why I don't write anything. The only thing I write are journals, and I've done 3 of them. So Otakoi, you can get it in North America on Amazon Prime,
right,
or Prime Video, which is, Amazon Prime started doing more anime. I found a few good ones on there. Well, I say good. I don't want to get into those yet, but man, there's tangents I could go on right now. But no, like, it's really nice, because I mean, I have Prime just in general, because I do tend to ship a lot of things to people, especially
right,
since most of my people I would like to send gifts to don't live in this town anymore. So it was nice to have this, it just get, you know, all these interesting shows. Like, we got The Tick, we got Men in the High Castle, and then we got this. So, totally worth it. Anyway, so the premise is that we've got some office workers in Japan.
Yes.
Just your typical office workers.
Good old-fashioned salary man.
Yep. We get basically no idea what the hell they do.
They just are in an office. We really don't know.
Yeah, they write forms, they print them in, email them to each other, and they're like, that's wrong. Okay, I'll fix it. There, it's fixed. And that's about it. In this case, like, our initial protagonist, well, we have 4 full-on protagonists, but the main two are probably Narumi.
Yes.
Who is your cute, short, pink-haired girl who, you know, seems like the typical plucky girl. Although, first twist, she's not, like I said, it's in an office, so she's like 25.
Right. It's not like the stereotypical otaku that you're thinking about. They just sit up in their house and play video games all day.
No. No, she's got a full day job and everything, but she, like, just to get into her quirks right off the bat, she is a big fan of boy love.
Yes.
Which, or yaoi, as it may also be sometimes
she's
called.
She's a big yaoi fan, to the point that she actually makes her own.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things. Each otaku kind of falls into a different genre. Like, Fujoshi, I think is what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, which, don't ask me to, I'm going to get it wrong. It's essentially a part of yaoi fandom, and she does her own self-published manga, which is just apparently pretty raunchy stuff. But I love, she always sells it wearing, like, cute outfit and everything.
Right. She goes to conventions. She'll just talk to random people about it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
She goes to Comic-Con, which is an insanely big event in Japan. Like, I had no idea. It was like, it's 500,000 people every time, and it's twice a year. So, I mean, you think your conventions are big. I mean, I was talking just the other day about Gamescom in Germany, where it's like 300,000 or something, mm-hmm, insane like that. And this even dwarfs that. I'm like, people really love their amateur manga.
If you're a starving artist, you know where to go now.
Yeah. So Narumi is kind of an interesting character because despite being the happy-go-lucky young girl, she's, you know, a bit incompetent, which is pretty common for rom-com situations. She also likes her beer, which is a little less common.
Yeah.
She's a pretty hard drinker.
Yes.
She's got the high energy, which is typical for her characters. And she often gets flustered because she's embarrassed about being an otaku to the point where, like, she's had some hardships in her past because of it. Although she doesn't dwell on it too much.
No, no, not at all. It shapes her, but it doesn't affect her all the time.
Although at one point, in a pretty great gag that people will still laugh at, she tears up while watching Sailor Moon R.
Yes.
Which is just great. Yeah, but her main love interest, it's not really a spoiler because they start dating at the end of the first episode.
Right, it's very early in the series, so it's not like you're going to find, oh my goodness, why are they spoiling this so... No, no, it's not... I mean, I actually have to jump ahead real quick. I know you want to give some backstory on it, but the fact of the matter is this isn't like the typical dating type of anime where it's like, two random people just lock eyes and now they fall in love, or one's trying to make the other one fall in love or what have you. No, they're friends. And as you said, they start to figure out, hey, maybe something can happen between us.
Yep. Well, she keeps bringing it up and then dismissing it casually, but it's like, I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah. We have similar interests.
So I don't think I said his name yet. Hirotaka.
Yes.
Who is a giant of a man. Like, the roomie's up to his nipple? No, it's got to be lower than that. Like, she's way shorter than him.
Yeah, I always, like, imagine him as, like, a Japanese version of Eric Wareheim. Like, just... It's like he's that guy.
He's just huge. And he's got the broad shoulders, so but he's got the weird kind of slight slender head,
yes.
So it's weird.
Yes.
he sports a pair of glasses, and he's a gamer.
He has a Switch on him.
He constantly pulls out his Switch and just does whatever. He plays a lot of Monster Hunter.
Yes.
That's probably the game we see them play the most.
Yeah, which
the
they
fictional...
actually show footage of, which is incredible. They really put some money... And to get actual license, the ability to actually use license on this game, on this anime.
Yeah. So yeah, and he's probably a little more typical of your protagonist because he's very aloof.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, and he's got major social issues. And one of my favorites is he has no problem doing gamer benders. And at one point, they look in his fridge, and he's got like nothing.
Yeah.
I think he had bacon, onions, and instant rice.
Yes.
That's all he had. He didn't even have coffee anymore at that time. And he only drinks instant coffee. I'm like, this guy's the worst.
Yeah.
Even by our standards. Which is saying something. He's a pretty casual dude. And it turns out he's been in love with the roomie his whole life.
Yeah, yeah. That was a little sweet thing because... Like I said, it's not like one of those things where he's trying to convince her to go out with him or fall in love with him like we've seen in so many other animes in the past. It's just one of those things, like, casually it comes together.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, well, it'd be wrong with dating me. And he's like, you know what? That's a good point. It's almost like that scene in Bowfinger where it's like, when Steve Martin goes to Heather Graham, he's like, we have to break up. Why? He's like, because you slept with Eddie Murphy. He's like, so? Good point. And it just doesn't matter.
Right, right.
I just kind of love that when they just kind of mess with cliches. Like, is that a problem?
Yeah.
No.
No,
really
not. No.
And yeah, so, and then we get Hanako, who is a bit older than the other two, and she's Narumi's boss or senpai, I guess.
Yes, yeah, she is. She's a senpai.
Senpai is probably the most accurate term. You know, just the older support person there to put up with stuff. And she's a
she also
okay.
encourages Narumi's her passion for yaoi art.
Well, because she likes it too.
Yes.
Although it's she just seems to like cross dressing in general.
Yeah.
She likes to cosplay as a man.
Yes.
Which is kind of interesting because more than once they've pointed out, like, there's a gag where Narumi and Hanako are having a big heart-to-heart moment, but Narumi keeps getting distracted by the fact that they're hugging, and she can feel how big Hanako's breasts are.
Yeah!
Which, I mean, you know, it's kind of a cheap gag, but there's always situations where you're with people and you can't help but notice something while they're spilling their heart out to you.
We've all had those moments. I cannot tell you one person that I can actually think of that moment off the top of my head. It has to do with breasts, too.
I've never been much of a
moments like I was like, where were you hiding those things? Like I was shocked.
And that's how we got.
And that's how we got together.
Yeah. But no, she does cosplay. I don't know why I'm trying to be funny. I'm sorry. That completely derailed me. That amazing story you just told. Hanako, yeah. She's a cosplayer, likes to dress as dudes. Her big thing is she seems to just love costumes, and she loves, like, one of her obsessions is dressing up her boyfriend, who we'll get to in a minute.
Yes.
Up as a woman. And also tries to do the same with her Ataka more than once. Because
yes.
Narumi did it to him at one point, and her Ataka just kind of goes along with things because he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And Hanako is just eager to, like, and now they kiss. Like, she's the type of person that would constantly, like, mutter that whenever two people have a discussion.
Right!
Especially if they're men.
Like, everything has to go back to that one thing for her. Like, it always does, and I love it.
Yeah. No, she's pretty great, and she's, like, she's a famous cosplayer, so she even has her own, like, fangirl group.
Mm.
But she's also a mean drunk.
Yeah.
And,
I just love the fact, like you said earlier, it's just so unusual for her to have the female characters drinking as heavily as these ones do.
Well,
and they use the different dynamics of potential of like what would happen if they did.
It's not unusual to have female characters drink, but especially drink beer.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't remember, like, I've watched more than a couple of shows. Like, there's this other show, Laid Back Camp, where the whole thing is it's a bunch of high school girls who go, or I think they're in middle school, one of the two. They go camping all the time, and the teacher they have that goes with them constantly drinks. But she never drinks beer.
Right.
Like, it's always, like, vodka, tequila, sake, amaretto, whatever. It's basically anything but beer. In this case, I don't know what it is, but there always seems to be this thing where female characters don't drink a lot of beer.
Right.
And this is an interesting little exception. I mean, if you're not a big anime watcher, this discussion doesn't mean much.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. Like, that's just normal here.
Yeah. And then the other main character, Hanako's boyfriend, who also happens to be Hirotaka's senpai.
Yes.
Because, of course, is Taro. Or
Taro? Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I always see it written and I don't pay attention to the pronunciation when they speak that much, because I'm the worst. I mean, for God's sakes, I still call Job Gob all the time. We've established that I'm not always the best with names.
Last one, yeah.
Because I think I saw his name spelled that way for over a year before I ever heard it out loud.
Right.
If
you see the name, you would just instinctively say that all the time.
Yeah, that never got beat. It's not one of those situations where I heard the name, then saw how it was spelled. I'm like, oh.
Oh, now I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah. No, then I would probably say it even when I was like, shut your job when I'm talking about someone's mouth. Man, okay, we gotta stop with the tangents because we gotta finish this.
We still got a couple characters here.
We're still talking about characters. So, yeah, Taro, he is very much into, like, just models in particular.
Yeah.
Like toy models, like your mecha and whatnot and everything. Or your figures, or your action figures, that type of thing. Like, he seems to be a classic fan of the shonen genre, to a degree. Which is, like, the male heroes fighting the enemies and getting stronger all the time.
Right. I think he loves the damsel in distress idea. Like, that's his whole character. Yeah.
Well, we had a great bit where we see their characters in an MMO.
Yeah.
Taro's the generic swordsman. Narumi's the cute, lovable assassin. Hanako's the sexy mage who bought a premium outfit that cost real money.
Yes.
That's my favorite part. And then, Hirotaka is the kind of weird design, overpowered nonsense character.
He has no general class.
He's just got a giant bow and arrow so he can easily snipe people at range and quickly get loot. Like, he's, you know, he's the kind of character somebody would optimize. It totally makes sense. Yeah, so they all play MMOs together and stuff, and just generally hang out and realize that, you know, life's a bit different when you're an adult in an otaku.
Yeah, yeah, and one of the things I really enjoyed about the series was just, like, the natural atmosphere of it, in terms of, like, the relationship, especially with Hirotaka and Narumi. And there's one scene, like, that stood out. It was so simple, where they were just eating lunch during the middle of the day, and Hirotaka is playing on his Switch, and she's eating, and they're not having a conversation whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in a normal circumstance, in a normal show, in a normal anime, that would be, like, that sign, like, oh my goodness, they're not getting along, or oh my goodness, they're growing apart. Whereas this one's just like, nope, they're just two normal people doing their thing at lunch.
Yeah. It's one of those things, because the show, there's still conflict.
Right.
But it's not in the typical vein. And I know some people who'd found the show kind of boring, and that's fair. It's really going to depend how much the show resonates with you.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, it gets compared to a bunch of other shows. Like, it gets compared to this one anime that was just called Gamers, which was awful. I think the general consensus is that show sucked. But I can personally say from my own opinion, I did not like it at all. there's also MMO Junkie, which is also pretty good. Some people say MMO Junkie did it better. I don't entirely agree, but I do think MMO Junkie is also pretty good. But talking about Wataku itself, it's just going through life, you know, they happen to be gamers, they actually have some licensed stuff in there. Not so licensed stuff, like there's Starbucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just living their lives, trying to be happy people, and it's hard, because they want to indulge their nerdy passions, and they're happy to be dating people that indulge their own nerdy passions.
Right, but there's always that conflict of, like, what we should be doing at this age, like, what's the stereotypical stuff?
Yeah.
And trying to, like, figure out how that works with them and their lifestyle.
One of my favorite conversations is just, he's like, so what do you guys normally do for dates? And then she thinks about it, and of course it's all, like, geeky stuff, like they're gaming at his place,
right,
going to the manga store, they're running the Comic Cat booth, and then it's like, what do you mean by date? And it's like, are you trying to get philosophical? And they kind of are, because it's like, it's not a typical date, and that's a major episode where it gets kind of interesting.
Right.
Like, the only thing that kind of annoys me is they're dating, but they still make a big deal out of any time the characters want to kiss each other.
Yeah, when they had those, quote-unquote profound romantic moments where, like, they kind of, like, hit that stride of, hey, they're finally reaching this point of romantic exploration, and it's, like, made into a big deal.
Yeah.
Even when it's something very simple.
I know, it's weird. Although, I mean, for I've watched more than a few videos on do's and don'ts when you're in Japan, and one of the ones they always say is, maybe don't do too much public affection.
Right.
So I guess that's just the thing.
Maybe, yeah. It's just exemplifying that whole feel.
Mm-hmm. Either way, it's a cute show, and, I mean, I like to talk about shows a little outside our wheelhouse, because you expect us to talk about, you know, superhero shows, or big, gritty, violent
programs. Right, yeah, more action-oriented stuff, and, you know.
Like to talk
sci-fi,
about a show that's just,
you know.
Yeah, it's nice to talk about a show that's just about love.
Yeah, and it's just about people being normal. Normal as they can be.
No, exactly. I mean, it's still about, you know, people who play video games and stuff together, so it's not like it's...
it's not too far away from us.
No, I mean, probably the most away from our wheelhouse was Place Further Than the Universe.
I'm still
glad we did that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's still one of my
favorite
shows.
That's such a great show, though.
I know.
Oh, man.
See, now we need to do an episode about Laid Back Camp. But Wataku, if you've got an Amazon Prime and you sound even remotely interested, do check it out.
Yeah, wholeheartedly.
I don't think it's going to be my favorite, even just anime of 2018, because, I mean, we've got some stiff competition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely going to be one of the more affectionate ones that I'm like, oh, this is nice. It might be one of the ones I just put on when I want, like, a comfort show.
Right, yeah, it's one of those chill-down kind of shows. Like, just...
I was going to say, I would not watch Devilman Crybaby, or even maybe Place Further Than the Universe to chill. Oh, this is a cute show. I'm sure I'll be able to watch it. Oh my god, I'm crying. The nature of... Oh, God. Oh, they're talking about friendship contract. Oh, that she doesn't know when her birth... Oh. Oh. Just all over the heart. Oh, she's looking for... Oh. Sometimes it's okay to cry.
Yeah.
But, you know,
sometimes it's okay just to go into insane convulsions.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add about Waterquake?
No. Great show.
Yeah, it's a great show about love. Speaking of love.
And insane convulsions.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention getting wood. Wait. I don't think that was entirely on topic, but we're fine. So, back in 2009, there was a little place called Something Awful, where a gentleman happened to come up with this concept called the Slender Man.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, almost 10 years later, we have a movie called Slender Man. And I emphasize the time because I think that's going to be one of the important things to take away from this.
Yes. And it's something that we were talking about off camera months ago after this was announced. We were just picking out our schedule.
Yeah.
We were just saying how outdated this already was.
Look, it's at least 2 years too late.
Yeah.
I want to say maybe three.
I was going, like, which is ironic enough because it's what the real life situation that happened that was connected to it, I would say like 14 at the most. So,
oh, right, because
yeah,
because that's when the little girl did the thing.
Yeah. So I was saying, man, 2014 is probably the best time they should have done it.
Yeah, because now it's almost certainly too late. That said, you know, I still appreciate that they made it. So, we'll start with this one.
I wasn't going to say a word that time.
That's it. Okay, like...
I couldn't even appreciate
it. It's a horror movie that came out in August.
No. Let's rephrase that. It's a PG-13 horror movie that came out in August.
Yeah. PG-13 horror can still work, but, I mean, it does have a negative reputation in horror circles. For those unfamiliar, PG-13 horror movies are usually considered... jump scare movies,
yeah.
Essentially. Because, you know, like, oh, they're throwing cats at us. Stop throwing cats at us. What the hell's wrong with this cat? And then you'll occasionally see someone dead in, like, a pool of blood.
Right.
But you don't get anything, like, super intense.
Yeah, somebody gets smashed out of a window, or somebody just vanishes out of thin air. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's the level of gruesomeness and grotesque moments you'll see.
Which, and...
Is it incredibly ironic, considering that the trailer for the movie initially... had some really rough moments that not even in the film.
I know. Well, I was going to say, just to finish up the thought here, like, R-rated horror, it's not just you might be able to see nudity, you know. I mean, that can happen, especially with the cliches that were established in, you know, certain movies, especially Friday the 13th.
Of course.
Yeah, but it's not so much that. It's just even being able to curse, while it can be used, can be overdone, it can make characters feel more natural at points. I mean, when you see a weird bendy man coming at you out in the mist, and it's nice to be able to say, what the F, not just,
gee golly, guys, we gotta go.
Gee whiz, gang. We're in a real humdinger of a situation. Hey, grab us, it's gonna be wham, bam, goodbye, Cunningham. Did you like my reference to Ron Howard? Call back to last week again because we can't stop referencing Arrested Development.
Oh, man.
Anyway, yeah. So, considering all these handicaps, this movie actually wasn't that bad.
Oh, God!
Honestly.
Oh, man. I'm in the camp of it could have been worse. That's what I'm at.
Oh, totally.
It was a bad movie, but it could have been worse. That's how I feel.
I mean, I didn't call it that bad because, like, I don't... Because... bad means I just didn't I didn't like it, but I never felt bored.
I did feel bored.
I
felt bored during that moment between, I hate to spoil too much, but just, you know exactly what's happening in terms of, like, how Slender Man is coming to be in this situation. That moment where we're having the kids figure out, okay, something's going on, and completely denying it.
Mm.
And like, that's the job for the parents, which for some reason, for some reason, really weren't around or didn't care whatsoever that their kids were going crazy.
Well, it's, look, they couldn't afford Connie Britton or Clancy Brown. I mean, after their recent endeavors, those two got too expensive, so they can't cast any skeptical parents anymore. That was an obscure reference I made. I was referencing the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Connie Britton was in that, and she played the skeptical parent who turned out to be covering everything up because it's Nightmare on Elm Street. Sorry if you've never seen Nightmare on Elm Street. It's not a good remake.
No, it's not at all.
I'd rather rant about...
I will say this. At least that was better than that.
Which?
I feel Slender Man was better than the Friday the 13th remake. Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Well, because it wasn't murdering a beloved franchise. At worst, it was highlighting how derivative some parts of Slender Man's story can be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they stayed as close as you can to the, let's call it, lore.
The various source material that continues to be just butchered by anybody that gets their hands on the property.
I'm trying to remember what the guy's username was, because it was hilarious.
I know he, like, used his first real name, but then it was, like, something else really funny for his last name.
Victor Surge.
Yeah, there you go.
And his real name is Eric Knudsen.
Yeah.
Victor Surge. Yeah.
He's a Pokemon gym trainer.
Yeah. Wait, isn't Lieutenant Surge or something like that?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Lieutenant Victor Surge.
Yeah.
Raichu Corps. We're having more fun with this than we are with the movie.
That's... I know. I have to ask you, because this is so funny that we're talking about a horror movie, and I might have to ask you this question. What was, like, the most laugh-out-loud moment that you had watching it?
Honestly?
What?
When... I don't know if I want to... The bit where somebody... I'm going to use code here.
Okay.
Gets wood. Because that just felt like a parody moment to me. I mean, I know that's, like, in the again, we'll call it lore, but what? Why? Like, it feels like it should be something out of it, like, this is kind of the problem, because Slenderman's origin seems like a mix of American and specifically Japanese.
Yeah.
Sources, like, especially because the videotape stuff is very rare.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was like, okay, this is going to be the American version of The Ring, but via, as they said in the movie, website video.
Yeah.
Because We can't say YouTube. We just can't say video. We had to emphasize that it's on the internet. It's website video. And I don't understand how more people haven't disappeared at this point. Because you're telling me, everyone with a cell phone or a computer or a laptop hasn't seen this video now in America.
Nope. Americans don't watch the internet. They're too busy watching NASCAR. Which, okay, is that reference going to be... No, NASCAR is still pretty popular, okay.
Yeah, it's still there.
I was just thinking, because, like, back in the mid-2000s, NASCAR had, like, a huge surge again, and I think it's gone down a bit. But
it was crazy.
I was trying to make another out-of-date joke about them, but that doesn't really work because NASCAR is still popular. Well, whatever. Much like this movie, that joke didn't quite land. See, you know what? It always makes me happy when you laugh because it means we're still doing good. Okay. Just brass tacks here. Slender Man isn't a very good movie.
No.
It's not that bad, though, really.
To me, it's a bad movie that could have been worse. I thought it was actually worse than this. I really did.
It's the problem is, because Slenderman's origin itself is kind of derivative, all you're left with is Slenderman.
Yeah.
And they do some things right with him. Like, okay, here's something positive I can say about this.
Okay.
They didn't show him too much.
No.
I mean, at the end, when you have to see more of him, that's when you start to potentially... But, like, they did it, like, in Super 8, for example, where they were very careful. And he is genuinely creepy in a few scenes.
Yes. There's one scene about halfway, or two-thirds into the movie where they're trying to do the whole mystery of how do we figure out how to stop him. And there's a scene that I thought was easily the best part of the whole movie, featuring Slenderman.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I know what you're talking about. We probably can't be more specific than
that. Yeah, that's all I can say. That's all I can say about that.
Yeah, no. And the acting, besides starring a bunch of people I hadn't really heard of before, was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. It was just, it was more of the script itself being bad than the actors.
Yeah. No. They, like, I wouldn't say they were, you know, setting the world on fire. Like, it's not like...
No, I mean, they had a standard. They had a standard when it comes to horror movies that they pretty much reached. It was just the script itself didn't give them much to help them.
I've seen some really bad acting in horror movies, and I thought it was, like, again, going back to the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, good lord. Some of the acting in that one was terrible. What year did that come out? Was that 2011?
I want to say, yeah, it was either 10 or 11.
Yeah, when 2011 Katie Cassidy is the best actor in that movie, you've got a problem. She's gotten better since, but she was not good.
Oh, no, it was terrible. So bad.
Good lord. And then she went on to other things. I didn't want to touch that. But this is what I'm saying. Like, we're struggling because we don't want to give too much away. But we just came back to you. It's just kind of derivative. Cause yeah. Like I said, there's more than a bit of The Ring. There's more than a bit of... I can't even remember the name of the other one.
Oh, The Grudge?
It was something...
Maybe The Grudge?
What?
The Grudge?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's probably the most accurate one is The Grudge, yeah. I kept wanting to say something else. I'm like, no, that's something else entirely. I kept wanting to say The Forest, which is not... You know, that's different. And, what's the other one I'm thinking of? There's a bit of, kind of almost, Hellraiser to a degree.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I can understand that because it's that whole, you're touching into a mysterious force.
Yeah.
And you don't understand exactly what you've gotten yourself into.
Xenomites, let's go for a ride.
And then the very end of it, which, like I said, I'm not going to spoil, but the very end of it is very Hellraiser-esque.
Yeah. But for an independent horror film, trying to use a property that overstayed its welcome, again, this could have been so much worse. And
it could have been so much worse. I just think they just came out at a terrible time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's, it's just too late. This is not the Bye Bye Man.
No.
This is the thing. I can probably sit here for at least 5 minutes naming other movies it's better than.
Yeah.
But I still am not going to recommend it that much. Like, unless you really don't mind a PG-13 horror film.
Yeah, if you just have absolutely nothing to watch and feel the need to, you know what? I just want to see what all the hubbub is, just to see if it's actually as bad as everyone is saying it is. I say, go see it. It's not that bad, but...
I think it's got like a 13 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty low, honestly.
I think it's still better than Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, it totally is. And don't forget, we've had like 3 or 4 movies this year that have gotten a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. Including some with like people attached that are kind of important. John Travolta's Gotti got a 0.
Oh my goodness.
And if you've seen that movie, you'll understand entirely
why. It's better than Gotti, we'll give it that. Slenderman is better than Gotti.
What do you mean we have to tell people what's going on in this movie? No, Slenderman. Yeah, I don't necessarily say go see it, but it's not. It's gonna be a good one to have in the background. Like, if you're not during the Halloween party, but if you're prepping for the Halloween party and you may have a friend or two show up early, because there's always a couple of those. And you're still prepping your crazy dip or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, or you're getting the witch's eyes ready, which of course are just grapes, because that's how that works. Sorry to give the game away in case you didn't understand that. But you're just prepping all your party snacks. Just have it on the background.
Yeah, this could actually be a good, fun drinking game kind of movie where everyone takes a shot whenever they think they see some other man in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if you aren't paying attention, but you pay attention in the scare moments, you might have an easy way to toss that party salad.
Yeah.
Because you'll throw it up in the air at the right moment.
Just throw it right in the air. There it goes. It's all over. All thanks to Slender Man.
Thanks, Slender Man. You're a kitchen nightmare? Oh. I wasn't sure where I was going with that one. Sorry. It's the thing. But, yeah, so Slenderman, yeah. You know, I don't even need to say it again. I'm sorry.
No, we're getting repetitive now, just like Slenderman just showing up and not doing anything.
Yeah, well, yeah, he sure is there.
There he is. There he is once again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they should have had an Australian run up. It's like, go away, Touchy Tim. Sorry, that might be an obscure reference.
Man, I'm with somebody. Okay, if they really didn't want to take that movie seriously, they could have easily had someone just randomly say, you know, oh, there he is again. Yep. There he is, just standing in the woods. Slenderman.
Watch Slenderman. Watch the internet comedy short Touchy Tim instead. It's shorter. It's about a man with really long arms, and it's funnier. All right. Well, on that note, thank you for joining me today, James.
Oh man.
I know it's. Look, we had a really strong start with a show that we. Lovely love, and then we had a movie. It's like,
no, I'm just thinking, like, okay, you're gonna watch, you gotta watch a movie about a guy pretty much touching himself with long arms.
That's not the point of Touchy Tim.
No, I just came across that way.
No, he's just a man with really long arms, and because of that, he's called Touchy Tim. They think he's touchy feely, but he's just got long arms.
He's got long arms, there we go.
Like, his theme song, I just said, he's got long arms.
Okay, now we figured out where Serge came up with this idea.
Oh, yeah. Dang Australians. Anyway. On that note, I've been Peter W. Dawson. Clearly going a little insane today. But...
I warned you not to open your eyes. Slenderman's got us.
We're trapped in an infinite loop. It's like, it's not that bad. Yeah.
Slenderman's got us, I'm telling you.
Well, okay, it's time to start the episode.